we'll just read a verse here and there. First of all, in verse 1. Leviticus 7, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. Now further down, verse 12. If he offer it, I started just too far up. However, that will do. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour fried. Besides the cakes he shall offer for his offering, leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Now verse 16. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. Now down to verse 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the waved breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons. Out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel, in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Now we have already considered a little the features of the burnt offering, where I think we saw primarily coming to light in type the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God, to accomplish his will, and to bring into being that which is for the pleasure of God. While dealing with sin, dealing with it in such a way that God may be able to move out to man in his love toward him and secure his creature responsibly for his glory and the delight of his heart of love. I think primarily we see that in Psalm 40, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. And then we saw following that a little about the meat offering, the perfect sinless manhood of our Lord Jesus Christ, moving in this world from the manger right on to the cross as one man who gave an answer to God of all that men should be for the delight of his heart of love. Then on Monday night we turned to the sin offering, where this time we saw very clearly it was the death of Christ, not so much on the side of giving pleasure to God in meeting his claims, but meeting the need of man on our side, as we saw primarily in the female on the subjective side, the death of Christ, no doubt seen with us a sense of God today as the advocate, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ of the righteous. We passed over the peace offering, leaving that for what at the moment will be our last meeting on the subject, and just a few words ere we come down to it. We noted then in these other offerings, more was said about the sin offering in the detail of the offerings than was said about the other three. When we come to the law of the offerings, the section we are in tonight, more is said about the peace offering than about the other three, perhaps I should say four, including the trespass offering that we haven't had time to go into. Another striking feature that meets us is this. In the detail of the offerings, the peace offering comes third among the sweet savour offerings. Here, when we turn on to the law of the offerings, the peace offering comes last. Now, we indicated last night that the bearing of the peace offering was fellowship. Part going to God, part going to the offerer, of the animal sacrifices that were used, more of the peace offering went to the offerer and went to the priest than of any other of these animal sacrifices. And one cannot help but think, the reason the peace offering comes last in the law of the offerings is that God draws us into fellowship, as I think we shall see, draws us into fellowship with himself on the basis of all that Christ has done. That's a wonderful thought just to turn over. Very simple. But let me just say it again, as though God would have us bear this in mind, that when he draws us into fellowship with himself, it's into fellowship in relation to all that Christ has done as burnt offering, meat offering, sin offering, trespass offering, and now the peace offering, as though God would have us understand and enjoy every possible feature we can enjoy of all that Christ has done for the glory of God and the everlasting blessing of our souls. So this peace offering in the law of the offerings, as we say, it's last of all. We'll see them summed up at the end of the chapter. Now again, in regard to the law, I started a little higher up, just missed the point for a moment. We should have started in verse 11, the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Now this word law comes from a Hebrew word, Torah, which simply means divine teaching. Why, you'll find in the details of the offerings in the first five chapters, it's the offerer that is more in view. But when we begin with the law of the offerings, it is the priest that is more in view as to how these were to be handled and offered and dealt with, as though first of all there would need to be the production of an offering in our soul, spiritual of course today, and then in our priestly capacity, knowing how that should be rightly presented to God for His glory, and correspondingly as a blessing in each one of our souls. No one, we are assured, can ever offer anything to God concerning Christ Himself without there being a reflex in blessing in the soul of that offerer. But it's as anointed priests we bring that which has been produced, and as anointed priests, anointed by the Holy Ghost, we have the privilege of offering our offerings to God. So in the law of the offerings, it's to teach the priesthood just what is involved in these things, the right way to present them for the pleasure of God. We began about it in verse 12, that if he offer it for a thanksgiving. Now there are three ways in which a peace offering can be offered. First, in verse 12, a thanksgiving. Then in verse 16, a vow or a voluntary offering. Now the first word I think is very simple, isn't it? In verse 12, a thanksgiving. It would spring from an appreciation of one's heart of the blessing that God has brought us into. Spontaneously, thank God there's no forced work, no servile work about the things of God today. But as one ruminates a little as to the greatness and glory of Christ, and the sphere of divine blessing we have been brought into as the fruit of what Christ has done, why, we cannot refrain at times from opening our lips and thanking God, as we say, from the depths of our souls, both for His giving of His beloved Son, and for all His beloved Son has done for His glory and for our blessing. Thanksgiving, probably the simplest of all, why, it springs spontaneously from the hearts of the saints of God in their deep appreciation of this wonderful blessing that God Himself has brought us into. Further down, when it's a vow, in verse 16, that has to do with some act of devotion for God. In our Christian experience, spiritual experience, there are times again that come into our lives when there is something needed to be done that for me is going to mean a committal to the Lord in relation to it. It may be given a little time for a specific work for the Lord that I feel He's called me into. And in fellowship with God, like a vow, not binding ourselves now according to the flesh, but committing ourselves to the Lord and saying, "Now Lord, give me grace to do that work. I feel I ought to do it, Your will for me," and commit ourselves in doing that work would be, I believe, the answer to a vow. It's some definite committal in regard to some service for the Lord to which we bind ourselves. Keep in mind, this is a peace offering. That is, a fellowship offering. It's something born of communion with God. Thirdly, it says a voluntary offering. I spoke about thanksgiving coming out spontaneously. Well now, this voluntary offering comes out too spontaneously. That, I think, will occupy us a little more when we get further down. It has to do with bringing something into that circle quite voluntarily of our own will. May not be an expression of thanksgiving. It may not be a definite committal. But it's the idea of bringing some material toward that divine center that is going to enrich the company, first for the glory of God, and enrichment for God's people, as we shall see, in bringing voluntarily something to this circle that's going to be a help to that divine circle, both for the glory of God and our blessing. That's the details further down. So we come back now to the thanksgiving with a remarkable addition mentioned here. If then it says in verse 12, he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Now, so far as I see in this chapter, offering a peace offering for a thanksgiving is the only offering where they brought a meat offering along with it. Very striking there. Would it not give this impression to begin with? Mind you, there's a lot in these verses we feel needs just a little elucidation that one hasn't fully grasped. But I think we can see this simple point about it. When I come to God in appreciation and thankfulness of all that has been done for me, I keep in mind not only the death of Christ, but the perfect life leading up to it, as we see this meat offering brought along with this thanksgiving in a peace offering. We saw, you remember, in the meat offering, the cakes mingled with oil. That was his holy conception in the power of the Spirit of God. Unleavened wafers anointed with oil, dating from the banks of the Jordan in his public service in this world. But something else is added here. Cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour, fried. Looking out that word fried, we discovered that Mr. Darby translates it saturated with oil, and we discovered that's exactly what it meant. Saturated with oil. You remember that verse at the end of the third chapter of 1 Timothy? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. I come to regard this saturated with oil, that every movement that Christ made, every step which he took, every word which he spoke, was saturated with oil. Never a movement, never a step, never a word, but what was in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, justified in the Spirit. And it's an interesting point to note that, connected with this peace offering, this fellowship offering in thanksgiving to God, is the apprehension of that wonderful man who has brought us into fellowship with God by his death, that in his life, and born of the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, actuated in every movement by the Holy Spirit, it is that man who, having died upon the cross, has brought us into fellowship with God. You'll find, I think, that is quite correct about that word fried, saturated with oil. And it's this wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, whose every movement was characterized by the Spirit, that has brought us through his death into fellowship with God. We keep, of course, beloved, emphasizing his death. For as we said, was it last week, however much we do appreciate that perfect life We know that had Christ lived that life and gone back to heaven, we'd never have been in fellowship with God at all. No, no, it's not his life that brings us to God, it's his death. But thank God, having been brought to God by his death, we have what this world can never have, a spiritual appreciation of that wonderful life where every step was for the glory of God. And we can turn along with his death, allied with it his life, and give thanks to our God for Christ. But moving down the chapter into verse 28, we are coming more to the answer of the voluntary offering that was brought along to enrich the company to which we belong. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Now one note, if you'll keep your eye just on these verses, in verse 29 in the middle, unto the Lord. Come down to verse 30 on the second line, of the Lord, and the end of verse 30, the last line, before the Lord. Now we have unto the Lord, of the Lord, before the Lord, emphasized here in regard to this peace offering. We're not going to take them quite in the line in which they are given. We start with verse 30, of the Lord. Now, beloved, we are speaking simply tonight about divine enrichment. If I'm going to bring something, notice as verse 30 says, his own hand shall bring it. Now, if I'm going to bring something to that company that's going to be a spiritual enrichment to that company, first for God and as a peace offering for those who compose that company, I must be sure, first of all, it is of the Lord. Oh, good me, bringing there something of myself, something I've imagined, or something I like, a predilection of mine, there's just no room for it whatsoever in that divine circle. Be it ever so small, if it is a feature of Christ, there's room for it in that divine circle. Let us be sure. What we bring there is altogether of the Lord. I suggest for that one, beloved, it's divine in origin. Secondly, we have read at the end of verse 30, it's waved before the Lord. Now, would that not give one the conscious sense that God's eye is resting upon it all, all that is moving here, for his pleasure in that company? If I do things merely to gain the attention of the brethren, before the brethren, I don't think it's going to help them very much, or myself either, and certainly nothing in that sort of thing for God. But if it is done with the conscious sense that his eye is resting upon it, I do it before the Lord. Oh, there's going to be that which God will appreciate, that will be a help to the saints, and will minister real blessing to one's own soul. It was said of Ishmael, you know, before he was born, the angel said, he shall live in the presence of all his brethren. And very strikingly it says about Ishmael the second time when he died in the presence of all his brethren. Oh, of course we want to be always in the presence of our brethren. But the Ishmaelite character was rather, what he did all his life was to impress his brethren. Ah, that was the thing. He shall live in the presence of all his brethren. That wasn't living in the presence of God, you see. But if one is living in the presence of God, in the presence of one's brethren, what a help that is going to be. Hence, let us remember then, in the movements of this divine circle, God's eye is resting upon it, and only that which is of the Lord, in its movement before the Lord, conscious that his eye is upon it, is it going to be helpful in that company? But now that leads to the third one that we referred to in verse 29, his peace offerings unto the Lord. You see, if I have something divine in origin that's of the Lord, and I hold that in my affections conscious of divine pleasure as before the Lord, then when it comes to the moment of offering it unto the Lord, it's going to be acceptable to the Lord, and depend upon it, it's going to be a help to the Christian company to which we belong. Now, you know, we are all capable of something. One thing about this peace offering is the diversity of it, the width or the breadth of it, if you like, bringing us all in. Who can it give thanks to God? Who can it spontaneously offer something for the pleasure of God? Perhaps few of us may arrive at the idea of vows to God, not for me to say it, but of the other two, when it's a question of thanksgiving and a spontaneous movement, surely there's room for every one of us to produce something of the Lord, before the Lord, offer it unto the Lord. That's going to be for his glory and for the blessing and enrichment of his people. That's what we are dealing with here then in verse 29. He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall... Why, there are impressions reach my soul through that brother giving thanks that I hadn't thought of before. It becomes food to my soul. It's an oblation. Why, whatever it is that we bring along, the idea is food. It's to enrich, you see. Today, of course, it's spiritual. Spiritual enrichment in the company to which we belong. He shall bring his food offerings unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. It's the committal of something, the production of something that one brings along for the blessing in fellowship of that old company. And hence, as we have said in verse 30, his own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. I'm very glad to receive from others whatever help or light they can give me about these divine things. Sometimes it may be guidance or some feature of Christ. But when I would like to think that I do bring something to that company, that is a help to them. Not only what I gain from others, what do they gain from me? I think this peace offering would raise the question with every one of us now, what am I adding to the little company that I belong to that spiritually enriches them? Not always a question of giving lectures or standing up and preaching the gospel, as we've so very, very often said. Why, it's the bringing of anything that bears the character of Christ himself. It's of the Lord and brought to that divine circle that all may get the gain in the enjoyment of it, of the peace offerings of the Lord. There may be testing about it. It's the bring the offerings, verse 30, of the Lord. It's made by fire. Tested, we believe, in holy discernment in the power of the Spirit of God. And the fact that it's called a sacrifice of his peace offerings, it may cost me a little bit to keep the thing going. Time, an opportunity that I could have used on self, quite prepared to devote them to the company for the blessing of all. Tested by the fire, it may be a sacrifice on my part at the end of verse 29, but what a blessing for us, beloved, what a favor indeed, that I can bring something of Christ to that Christian company, whatever the cost or test may be to me, that is going to help the things of the Lord and help the people of the Lord in the circle of divine fellowship into which we have been brought. By his own hands, and here we are, brings along the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. Now, we've seen already, haven't we, that the fact which speaks of the excellency of the offerings always goes to God. And we can quite understand, beloved, the fat will come first. I'm sure before I can help the brethren, I must be going on in my own soul with God. And there must be this presentation of the thing to God himself, the excellencies of that offering, if the saints of God are going to get the benefit of a food offering in that divine circle. Oh yes, the fat first of all, with the breast shall he bring, the fat for God, the breast for the priest, but we just can't turn them round. The fat for God and the breast for the priest, the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. Now we read that the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, God's portion ascending as a sweet savour for the delight of his heart of love, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Now the breast so obviously, I think, speaks of the love of the Christ. A way of offering that we understand, move this way. Following that in verse 32, we have the right shoulder of the heave offering. That we understand was presented this way. One speaking of a movement of affection, the other speaking of a movement of strength. But we notice that the wave breast always precedes the heave shoulder. That is, love underlying that movement, the ability underlying it is love. Let me just quote a few places to show what we mean. They're scattered all over the Bible, as a matter of fact. We'll quote one from the 25th chapter of Exodus. When God made that call, you remember, for material for the tabernacle system, he said it was according to their ability they would give, but every man as he giveth it with his heart willingly. You think God wanted a bit of gold from a man whose heart wasn't in it? They'd only thought, well, so-and-so next door's taking a bit, I suppose I better head and all, you know. Oh, no, no. But if his heart prompted him willingly, then God says, you take that offering from him, providing his heart underlies it. That's an Old Testament one. I'm speaking about our side for the moment. Take a New Testament one, so well known to us. You remember the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, all the gifts in the body are outlined for us. And in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how the gifts exercise themselves publicly in the meeting is brought before us. And that chapter wedged in, you remember, between the two, chapter 13, where the apostle says, I may have the gift of men and of angels, able to come into that meeting with a tremendous gift in tongues and that. But if the wave offering isn't there, you know, a movement of love, I might as well have held me tongue, for what good I do. A tinkling cymbal, a sounding brass. Why? Because the wave offering was missing. And I think, beloved, we've been long enough associated with the saints of God to have known times when a heave offering has been presented but seemed to lack that element of divine love, and somehow it left us, as we say, almost cold. But oh, if the love was there underlying it, however simple that effort, hearts were warmed up, people were encouraged, glad they heard the word, and of course it's just what Scripture says. If simple love was underlying it, however simple, it would be for the blessing of the saints of God. That's one in the old and one in the new for ourselves. Now just one more in relation to the Lord himself. At the end of the 14th of John, we hear the Lord saying this, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as he has given me commandment, even so I do love and do. Oh yes, the wave offering underlying the heave offering. What he did out of love to the Father. Was it here the other night? We were quoting that again in the 15th of John. We hear him saying, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There it is again, the wave offering, underlying the heave offering. Every movement that was made for the pleasure of God was actuated by divine love. Hence the word breast comes first. In verse 31, the breast shall be Aaron's and his son's, and the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. There is first the appreciation of these features in Christ himself. Love, underlying every movement that he made. But you know, we often see in this process of eating, there's first of all appropriation. Yes, we eat of this food. And if this is the sort of spiritual food we are feeding upon, appropriation, mastication, digestion, assimilation, and reproduction, oh yes, it's bound to come out. And the result would be, you see, to form us in the selfsame character that came to light in our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. I think you're bound to agree that if that's the sort of thing that's being affected in us, beloved, we're going to be great helps in the company to which we belong. Great ministers to the fellowship, and bringing along, enriching that fellowship, and bringing material of this character formed in divine affection in each one of our souls. We'd like to say a lot more about that, but I see our time's nearly gone. So the weird breast underlying the heave shoulder, once more in verse 34, for the weird breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest, and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. Now we get this summing up in verse 35. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons. Notice how they are linked together here, the anointing of Aaron and the anointing of his sons. We've often heard out of this Pentateuch that wherever we have Aaron and his sons brought together, why, it's Christ and the assembly. We saw that in our reading at Heaton very clearly, you remember, out of the second chapter of Hebrews, the company that is linked with him in the divine anointing. Why, we take up these things, you see, in communion with Christ, because we belong to him and are associated with him in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons. Why, it's the spiritual enlightenment, the spiritual blessing we've been brought into in association with Christ, that is now summed up in this law of the peace offering, all that we've been brought into fellowship with in association with our Lord Jesus Christ. This then is the portion of Aaron and his sons and the anointing of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office. Lest I said too much about what we bring for the blessing of the brethren, let us remember again what we said, beloved. It's a ministry unto the Lord. But you can't minister unto the Lord in that company, neither can I, if it is of the Lord that which we minister, but which is bound to be for the enrichment and the blessing of that company. There it is, it's the Lord and the priest's office where they are brought in to share it together, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. What then is our portion? Here it's summed up in verse 37. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, of the sin offering, of the trespass offering and of the consecrations and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. Now that's the verse I had in mind when I said at the beginning of our meeting why God invites us into the enjoyment, spiritual enjoyment today. We can only do it, beloved, because we are anointed by the Holy Ghost. But he draws us into the enjoyment of every feature that has delighted his heart in his well beloved Son. Can I reach up in my affections to observe what Christ is for the delight of God's heart? Not only what he's done for me, here it is surely, but can I reach up to the thought of what he has done for God, that's the burnt offering, and learn with deep appreciation the perfection of that pathway along which he moved, where every step ever ascended as a sweet savour for the delight of the heart of God. Appreciating for me his death upon the cross so wonderfully, so sufficiently, that in spite of all that I had done, suffering in death under the judgment of God, he's cleared me completely of all my sins and reconciled me in these happy conditions back to his God and Father. The trespass offering, as we saw working out in relation to advocacy amongst the saints of God, still there, quite capable to restore me if failure should come in on that pathway, the advocate with the Father, and of the consecrations. Why, this is more positive. The idea behind consecration is the filling of the hands, that Christ would fill my hands, as it were, with the perfections that came to light in himself, that I might enjoy them in their entirety. And last of all, in the sacrifice of the peace offerings, here I am, feeding on the very things that God himself is feeding upon. As oft times, you know, we sing together, brought to rest within the circle where love's treasures are displayed. And yet again, in thy grace thou now hast called us, share us of thy joy to be, and to know the blessed secret of his preciousness to thee. This, beloved, is our portion. It's the portion of our anointing. For is not the normal work of the Spirit, need we refer to John 14:15-16, to hear what the Lord himself said about it, the normal work of the Spirit to take of the things which are mine and to show it unto you. Well, thank God it's all available, and we have the power to take it in, enjoy it all, and as the result of enjoying it all, make a spiritual production, a voluntary offering, in a peace offering, adding something to the company to which we belong, born of one's own exercise and enjoyment of Christ, and thus enrich the circle in divine fellowship into which God has brought us when we bring there what is of the Lord. Consciously before the Lord, offer it unto the Lord, he will be glorified. The saints will be enriched by this food offering, and in the anointing of the Spirit of God, we'll be helpers together in this divine circle, and I'm sure help one another to come out more for the pleasure of God and like Christ, both for his glory and the blessing of the saints of God to which we belong. Well, thank God it is our portion in the power of the Spirit of God to take in, enjoy, and respond to all that has come to light in Christ himself, the answer to this typical system of the offerings. Now can we sing together number 310? Son of God, in heaven we view thee, of God's love the object meet, while Lord Jesus Christ is through thee, all our blessing is complete. 310. Son of God, in heaven we view thee. finding the answer to these offerings in the New Testament, we rather judge that the book of the Acts presents to us the answer to the peace offering, or, as we may have mentioned in relation to it, the proper bearing of that word peace offering is prosperity offering. The production of divine blessing, man's reception and answer to that blessing in response to what God has done. And as we see the going out of the gospel and the wonderful result of a company being secured and brought in responsibly for the praise and the blessing of God, seems to give us the first answer to the peace offering. That it extends over to the epistles, where we have the company secured, divine material brought, the gifts and all that is operative in the Christian company, adding to the prosperity of that company, is undoubtedly there. But the beginnings of it must be in the book of the Acts, where the death of Christ is presented as the basis by which man is brought into fellowship with God. Whether it's at the outset with the declaration of the forgiveness of sins as the fruit of his death, justification from all things, man brought in holy liberty into the presence of God, all this came to light as the fruit of the going out of the gospel in the book of the Acts. Over 50 times we have the Spirit of God mentioned, that power that has produced the subject of answer for the praise and the glory of the Godhead. And as we reach on to this thought of fellowship in man being brought to God, when we come to the ministry of Paul and the outline of that which he gave to men in relation to the gospel of the glory, it is there, the full fruit of the work of Christ in bringing man to God as a worshipping being is brought mainly to our notice. We may remember that in his speaking to the Ephesian elders of the grace of God, the kingdom of God, and the counsel of God, there is an apprehension of that which was in the thought of God toward man that could only be the result of the death of Christ to bring man in suitable conditions to God. And then, as we pointed out in the body of the lecture on the peace offering, that man, having been brought to God, is capable with his own hands of bringing a response that on the one hand will glorify God, and on the other hand minister some spiritual material for the enrichment of the company, as we find it growing and growing, and all that men brought into it, both materially and spiritually, that led to divine enrichment in that fellowship. When we read again of them having all things in common, it wasn't only that they held things in common amongst themselves, but as a united company they subsisted in fellowship with God. And to be reminded again that the peace offering is called an oblation, again it would be that that would nurture and nourish the saints of God, building them up as we find company after company in the reception of the word began to grow. And we know how the company of the Bereans were complemented in the complement of the Spirit in the Scriptures, that they were counted worthy of more honor the thorn than those of Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see that these things were so. So while we have the beginning of the peace offering taking effect, where the love of Christ, the answer to the wave breast, and the shoulder of Christ, the witness to the work he had accomplished for God's glory, whereby man has been brought in reconciliation, into priestly relationship with God. As we said, this is bound to expand onto the teaching of the epistles, for what we have in those various companies in the epistles was that which came to light during the apostolic letters recorded historically for us in the book of Acts. So in such outstanding epistles like the Epistle to the Hebrews, we have the injunction that men should draw near and in communion with God offer to him priestly worship in that which speaks of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, again with Peter, speaking of that spiritual house in the priesthood offering up, showing forth, as so often we have heard, the holy and the royal priesthood, all standing combination to show that which had been secured in the divine circle in which the people of God were brought to share in all that was going on by the Spirit, that God should be glorified, his name praised, worship given to him, and as a consequence in the knowledge of these things, the saints of God growing into a deeper knowledge of all that Christ had effected for God's glory and for their blessing. How much more in the Epistle to the Hebrews, where in the height of the Christian calling, we find the apostle praying for divine enlightenment on the heart of the saints. And as has so often been pointed out, in the first prayer of Ephesians 1, the shoulder comes more to light, the power of God that has been manifested in Christ, whereas in the second prayer of Ephesians, the love of the Christ comes more to life. There again the saints call to share in what God has effected by divine power through him, and what we are made to enjoy, caused to enjoy, by the Holy Spirit today in the enjoyment of the love of the Christ which passeth knowledge. If we sum up again at the end of the lecture, at the end of the 7th of Leviticus, where we are called to share God's enjoyments of Christ as the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and last of all, the peace offering, God bringing his people to enjoy with him his thoughts of Christ. And it seems as though we're having the record of it in the book of the Acts, the doctrine of it in its detail, in all that Christ has done, on the one hand for God's glory, on the other hand for the blessing of men. For as we read through the instructions in the law of the offerings, we find the skin of the burnt offering went to the priest. The remnant that was left of the meat offering went to the priest. The way both the sin and the trespass offering were eaten by the priest in the holy place, and the wave breast and the heave shoulder of the peace offering became also the food of the priest. Does it not seem as though God in these